Blog Talk Radio.
Talking some shit, and I'm going to expose some of those people. One person talked some shit, and we talked it out. Everything worked out. He kind of came at me sideways, but this is definitely a podcast that we're going to do the overdrive in 45 minutes. So, just pussy. Anyway. Welcome to Living Loud Nation for Tuesday morning, April 25th, 2017. I am, of course, your host, as always, Rob Smirnoff-Buzzle. And joining me, as always, my co-host, that man from another planet, man with the plan, Travis Steele.
Yeah, what's up?
So, I'm going to give you a synopsis about what tonight's show is about. I know I'm kind of caught off guard, and usually I'm listening to the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. Give a shout out to those guys at DonTony.com or WrestlingHypeNews.com. Been a supporter of their show since 2011, January. So, you know, I got a good 6 years in, you know, never missed a show. Let's put it that way. That's how much I'm dedicated to. With that being said, this is about NACAL. This is me. I'm not going to talk to you, the audience, whoever's listening live or on the download. I'm not going to talk as Rob Smirnoff-Buzzle, the personality. I am going to talk to you. We use this term in the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community. I'm going to shoot with you. This is Robert Uzzle talking to you now. So there's a difference between the personas, you know. But now I'm going to talk about something that is very near and dear to me personal, and that is about my divorce. That is about my marriage that failed. That is about the fucking bitch, that twat, that fucking gold digger piece of shit, injury-wise, that used Rob Uzzle to sustain injuries because of her. And I gave her boyfriend, because this motherfucker on his Facebook, if you do a little research, he posts his fucking phone number. His name is Zach Elliott. I gave this motherfucker an opportunity to call into the show and be a fucking man. But I'm going to ask you a question before I go into what I really want to go into. Travis, how many men do you know, especially if they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, let's say between the ages of 20 and 45, what men do you know that has picked up a profession in which they sit there and sell women's products such as makeup and lotions and soap and shit like that? What men do you know? Okay. So, this motherfucker talks all this fucking shit and puts him out. And he's like telling me, like the last text that I sent to him, and I'll explain why I've been going through him. He says, this will be the last time we talk. You have nothing to say to me, nor do you have a business with me. Goodbye. Do not contact me again. What a fucking pussy. I'm gonna say goodbye. You are a piece of shit. So I let this motherfucker give, I gave him an opportunity to call into the show because the show's about him, it's about her, because I'm pissed off about it. Now, I'm just going to make this short and to the point because we're on limited time anyway. I've talked to Travis in, you know, in confidence. We've talked about this issue before. I've prayed about it. I have talked to my mom about it. I've talked to my BFF Cat about it. I've talked to my boy Walter about it. He was one of my best friends. I haven't really talked to Iggy Pop. Iggy's one of my other good friends. I have talked to a lot of people about this, even my boy Byron Saxon from WWE. I think that I sat down and just, like, really gone into detail. But basically what happened was Audrey and I had got a credit card together, and I was the, it was known as Care Credit. Care Credit is a medical credit card for you to pay for medical procedures, appointments, medications, et cetera. And we, this was in, like, 2000, early 2014, when I applied for it, because Audrey's credit was fucked up, mine was decent, and when we did the joint and we applied online, she wanted to have the gastric sleeve surgery. So out of the $15,000 that she had in her fucking 401k, she was only able to borrow like $9,000 because the health insurance that she had did had an exclusion from any type of weight loss surgery. So what I ended up doing was because I was her husband and I thought I was doing the right thing by her because of having a, you know, I wasn't thinking that we were going to divorce. I'm thinking that we're going to live our lives happily ever after and eventually have the wooden white picket fence and a fucking house and some kids, you know. And even though I told her, because she asked me before, she's like, I knew she really wanted kids. I told her she didn't want kids. And I made that very clear. I made that very clear to her that I didn't want kids. So I went ahead and did this, and we got approved for a line of $8,000. So she used about $3,500 of that $8,000 to pay for her surgery. Now I'm gonna go ahead and give you some dates. April 5th, 2014, we moved into our own apartment. April 9th, 4 days later, 2014, that's when she got hit by this fine ass chick, but anyway, broke her ankle in two places, took off work, went to, I was already there before the ambulance showed up, and I fucking did everything for her. Got a wheelchair, you know, did the insurance. Matter of fact, the doctor that performed her surgery for her ankle, dude, it was so bad that they put like four screws in her ankle. The doctor that performed her surgery was the doctor that was recommended by my aunt. My aunt, who worked for him as a nurse practitioner, so it was because of my connection with my aunt that this surgery even took place. Okay, so the surgery takes place end of April or early May. She recuperates, but in the process, we lived in on an incline, like a hill, if you will, and there was no ramp. The apartment complex wouldn't work for us. They wouldn't work with us. They were saying that if we wanted a ramp for our handicap purposes, that we would have to pay out of pocket for that. And I went back and forth with them. I got the city of Dallas on their ass. I got the city of Dallas Fair Housing Department, which has a dual relationship with HUD. I got involved and I filed a complaint. Now, when I filed that complaint, that was not to get a payday out of them. That was literally trying to get them to fucking, you know, help us out, you know. And her weighing 350 pounds, and I'm having to literally physically lift her up while she's in the wheelchair, lift her up onto the sidewalk, push and pull up this fucking incline, and then when it got time for her to go back to work, then I would help her into her wheelchair, push her all the way down, lift her up off of the fucking pavement, off the sidewalk onto the fucking the drive patch or the parking lot, and then she would get in the car. When she get in the car, her job was only like 2 miles away, so I would drive her car, drive her to her fucking job, help her out of the car, push her to her desk where she worked at, and then I left and went to work myself. And I did that for 2 months. And the thing was, like, I had a prior back injury, but nothing as severe as this. At the time, I was probably about 405 or so in weight, and it's skyrocketing. I'm over 5 right now. I've been open and honest about this. It has to do with the fact that I haven't been mobile. It has to do with the fact that I just basically ate whatever the fuck I wanted. It has to do with the fact that I didn't take care of myself, and I was really depressed and stressed out after we fucking separated. So months went by. She got the surgery, the gastric sleeve surgery, in July 2014. And within a month and a half, she lost like 80 pounds. So she never really had a self-esteem for herself. And then she finally started having the self-esteem for herself, and she just thought that she was too good for me. And I remember the last time I actually had sex with the bitch, and it was in early September 2014, the last time we had sex. Now, remember, let's think about that date. Between September and I say around middle of November 2014, I couldn't get no sex from her. It was always an excuse. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, my head hurts. My feet hurt. Or if it's in the middle of the night at 1 or 2 in the morning, I wake up and I want to fuck. Oh, why didn't you come and get me early? I'm trying to sleep. It was always something. And I paid all the fucking bills. I held the house down. I cleaned up after this motherfucker. And I finally just snapped, and I just couldn't have I couldn't take it no more. I said, look, I want to separate. And on our one-year wedding anniversary, which was December 12, 2014, I went and filed for divorce.
And y'all got divorced, right?
So as 2015 comes along, I'm at my sister's house, and I'm battling, and I lost my fucking attorney. Couldn't afford to, because they were wanting like $2,700 to defend me and shit. And the more I started doing more research about it, I even called the fucking legal aid of Northwest Texas, and they couldn't even help me out. The sorry bastard. And I got some advice about the divorce or whatever. The reason that I kept, you know, holding out getting the divorce final was because she was still paying my insurance, and she wanted to call herself being a sweet, caring person because she knew that I had medical issues, and I didn't get on half the shit that I'm on now until I went to the doctor that I'm with now, and my weight just skyrocketing. And now I gotta do what I need to do, which I just need to push myself and need to get my ass in gear. But I guess basically what I'm saying here on this podcast is the divorce is final. On September 8th, which is the exact day we met each other 3 years prior, 2015, I lost my health insurance, so I had to get all these discount cards. I had to go to the doctor once a month, pay full price, which was like $100. And then she basically, the divorce decree said that, like, we had got that, you know, you asked me what kind of bed I had last night, and I told you it was a large bed. Well, we had got a bed together. So that bed was my responsibility. Because I told her, I said, look, I'm keeping the bed. Fuck that. You know, I'm getting something out of this. And then, when we were separating, getting ready to move out, I mean, I separated all of our stuff. I said, look, here's your shit, here's my shit. So that way,
hey, Rob,
let's go ahead and
talk about the guy that she's with now, because we only got 15 minutes on the podcast. And go ahead and give me the story about this guy that you've told me about, the guy that she's with now, apparently, pregnant by. I already know the story.
So she missed 3 payments on the – and I'm about to get into that story, but she missed 3 payments on the fucking deal. My credit score goes down. So now I'm sitting up here contemplating about, well, basically, when I signed that divorce decree, I signed my rights away from that settlement that she was going to, that she got from the car wreck, that I helped nurse her back to full health for 2 months, and as well as her 401k, because legally I was entitled to those monies. And now that she violated the divorce decree, she won't answer any of my emails. She won't answer any of my phone calls. So I try to contact her through other people, mutual people we know. So I contacted her fucking boyfriend. I gave him an opportunity. Apparently he somehow, some way knew about the podcast, and he's like, oh, well, I don't know about calling into your podcast, but you're going to fall asleep. Because I used to would take my nightly medicines that would help me go to sleep, and I've been known a couple of times to fall asleep during the podcast, and that's not the case tonight because I'm fucking heated up and I'm pissed off, and this guy here, his name is Zach, he's the craziest looking son of a bitch you ever see. He's got like a big blue goatee and a fucking blue mohawk, and I mean, and one time me and a couple of my other guys, we had prank called Audrey, and he answers the phone, and this motherfucker sounded like a punk faggot motherfucker. And then when I was talking to him, I sent him a message. I said, hey, Jack, you know what this is? You know, hey. Basically, what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to fucking settle this situation with her without going to court. And all I was simply was trying to do was tell him to tell her to contact me. And he's making up all these excuses. He's saying that, well, you had a back problem before then, and, you know, good luck in court. I'm like, trust me, bro. By the time I get all my paperwork together and show my credit report,
yeah, I was gonna say anyway. I thought he blocked you from Facebook or some shit. I remember that personally. You were telling me about that.
A couple weeks ago, I made another account, and I tried to send this motherfucker a message. Same thing that we've
you.
Been, and he blocked me, him and her. So I have another account that nobody knows about, and I went on his page. And I found his phone number. So I went ahead and texted him. And we went back and forth. I'm not going
to
read all the text, but he was basically acting like a little bitch fucking talking about, oh, well, I'm warning you, if you don't stop texting me. I'm like, oh, so that sounds like a threat. He's like, so then I took it up to another level. Everybody knows that I'm a fucking... all about fucking women. The only thing about women's rights that I support is abortion. If a woman wants to have a goddamn abortion, then let the bitch have a goddamn abortion. I don't think it's up to the fucking states, the government, or anybody else other than her and that motherfucker that got her fucking pregnant to decide what she can do with her body. And all this bullshit that the Bible talks about, or it doesn't even specifically state in the Bible. The only thing that I found in the Bible that it said anything about a pregnant woman that I've been able to find, as far as research is concerned, it says that you're not supposed to hit or strike a woman that has a child inside of her.
Yeah.
In other
exactly.
words, you're not supposed to hit a pregnant woman. But it didn't. The definition, first of all, the definition of pregnancy or abortion is termination of a fetus. Didn't say kill. Didn't say murder. So abortion is not murder if you look at the definition at its very core.
Yeah, I used to go to church and then hear about this shit all the time, to be honest. But, you know, there's so much corruption in the church these days. It's unreal. I just stopped going myself personally. So that's all I can tell you. I don't even go to church anymore. I'm actually agnostic. So, yeah, go ahead. You know, I'll just explain it to everybody. Basically, this guy... I mean, Rob, I don't mean to talk over you, man, but, you know, we have limited time on this darn podcast, but until we get a new
Go ahead.
This guy basically, Rob's been trying to get to his ex-wife out there for the longest fucking time, and she's ignored the hell out of him. He's tried and tried and tried to settle the agreement about, you know, the medical bills and all that. And because, you know, his credit score dropped and everything like that. And all she's doing is ignoring him. This is a problem with American people with women. And this is why MGTOW, you know, stuff like MGTOW, they go on their own way exists. Now, granted, I'll admit this on the podcast real quick. If you don't mind me having a little time, man. Only a minute or two. I had a guy comment on Facebook the other day. Or not on Facebook, but YouTube the other day. And I don't take YouTube trolls seriously, especially MGTOW trolls. But somebody on the MGTOW channel told me that I was a blue pill simp because I don't understand the definition of what goes on between man and woman, because I was commenting about, you know, the whole video was about women and men being douchebags, you know, men being, you know, women only going dating men because they're douchebags. You know, it's just like last week, man. I was at an Anthrax show, and I don't want to put it out there, but homegirl of mine, I almost got into it with the boyfriend over his jealousy because I kept talking about one of her exes, but I was only being supportive. But I saw her Saturday night and actually apologized to her, and we were really cool. Even last night, I was on the phone, texting her, but we were talking about straight something else, like some other business. Personally, that's between her and the job she works at.
Right.
Like,
is this the same person I'm thinking of?
Yeah. Well, anyways,
I'm just saying that Zach Elliott is a fucking piece of shit. He's got other kids, and they all look fucking retarded, dysfunctional, and.
He's probably some guy that thinks he's a fucking slick ass, that thinks he's better than every guy in the world, because there's obviously some men that are out there like that think they're fucking tough as shit. They think they're the best fucking alpha male there is in the world, but they ain't about shit in real life. But then again, females are the same way. You know, Saturday night there was another girl hanging around that I know as an acquaintance, and I get this behavior all the time from women. Some women, but the whole time she was around, she saw me hanging out, but she can't even come and speak two words. But of course, when she hears from me tell somebody else that I know that I'm about to leave, oh, you're about to leave, and comes give me a big hug. I'm like, you know what, bitch? You can't even fucking say hi whenever I get here. You know what? Go fuck yourself. You know what I mean?
You know.
It's the same thing I treated this girl. I shoved this girl off the other night that I don't care about. I told her, just go away. Like, I gave her a hand sign like I didn't want to talk to her. You know, you got to put your foot down to some people these days, man. I mean, But yeah, your wife's boyfriend there, he's a piece of shit, dude. I don't even want to hear about it no more, man. I'm so pissed off about what goes on in the world. You know, Rob, you get treated like shit. This is why you're a MGTOW now, because you got treated like shit by a woman. That's the dangers of what guys that are MGTOW online talk about marriage. That's why even guys like Paul Elam, who's a men's rights advocate, he also hit.
Sorry about that, man. I mean, you can keep going, but I got knocked off for some reason. We got about 4 minutes of the live thing,
you know,
man, but like I said,
go ahead, man.
I don't want this. Let this be a lesson to anybody, and I'm speaking to my fellow men out there. Let this be a lesson that the shit that I went through for the last 2 years.
This is why marriage
is
dangerous.
It's dangerous. And you need to have plenty of money saved up in the event of a divorce. I had an attorney, but when I found out that she was going to do what she was going to do, then to keep them on retainer, we were talking about $2,700, and we didn't rack up enough debt, and we didn't have property, we didn't have this. Basically, I kept my car, she kept her car, she was supposed to take care. Matter of fact, after the divorce was said and done, and even after the fact that she fucked me on this fucking deal with, you know, with the credit cards, I mean, right before this happened with the credit cards, like, I was basically, when I was living in Arlington, I was going through my boxes, because that's basically where all my stuff was still, looked like it, my apartment looked like it, like I never unpacked. Yeah. And I was going through boxes, and I found a box full of her shit. And it included her passport, her U.S. passport.
Wow.
So being the man that I am, since I'm such a piece of shit, you know, to her family and all her friends, I contacted her and I said, look, I found your fucking passport. I got a box full of your stuff. There's pictures in here that, you know, looks like family pictures from the 80s or whatever. What do you want me to do with this? She said, you know, you can bring it or we can meet somewhere. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll just bring it to your fucking job. I'll leave it at the front desk and let them, and I'll text you whenever I do that. And that's what I did. I went up to her job.
Yeah.
Went to the security desk. I said, look, this is for Audrey. Let her come and get this shit. And I left it alone after that. And I still returned her shit. I mean, she still may have shit of mine that I don't even know.
I will say this to everybody right now. I really don't know if I'll ever want to be married myself. Me, Travis Steele, but I am kind of in the dating phase again. I'm trying to find at least a woman that I can accept, because even though I'm sort of MGTOW, I really don't believe all women are bad news. I just think there's some out there, especially like Rob's ex here. You know, it's rough that, you know, he had to go through that shit, you know what I mean? But, you know, just be careful who you choose.
And then on top of that, they got together. Even though we were separated, they got together, and she started fucking around with this guy while we were still married, man.
It's sad. Women with shit like that these days. Yeah. I mean, I've had women try to fuck around with me whenever they're fucking have a boyfriend. I've made out with a chick one time that I didn't even find out until 2 days later she had a man. And I'm like, I got so pissed off at her about it. I said, I don't want to talk to her again. And I didn't. Because I don't believe in that shit, man. Is this the after party now?
Yeah, it's about to be. I was about to ask you, did you want to do the overdrive?
Yeah, go ahead and let's do the overdrive.
Just be careful, guys. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to go through what I'm going through right now.
For Rob Steele, I mean, not Rob Steele, Rob Uzzle, I'm Travis Steele. We're going to the overdrive, people. Just want to let y'all know.
Yeah.
Catch us there.
Yeah, we're in the overdrive right now, and contrary to some people, they're like, okay, so I think it was a couple of nights ago. This is a different story,
yeah.
But I had contacted my ex-wife's best friend, hairstylist. She's got a big ass breast, fine as hell. Her name's Tony.
You want to bang? Want to bang her?
And then I got a notification yesterday, like someone, because like you, like the way I got my Facebook set up, like is like as far as anyone want to post on my timeline, I have it set up to where I review it first and then I will post on it. And this guy named Thomas, who I very rarely talk to. And I went back and looked at our chat history. I was like, we were always cool or whatever, because he was like a wrestler, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, we have mutual friends in the wrestling business. So, and I probably seen him live or whatever. But he's going off on me, talking shit. I mean, I still got the post. I can send it to you. And I didn't know what the fuck was going on. And I thought that shit was immature myself. Because first of all, if you're a grown ass, you're gonna talk shit about a grown ass man, and y'all fucking friends. So you need to come to me and say, "Hey, man, what? This is the deal. I don't like this. Blah blah blah." So I was like, "Send him a message." I said, "Hey, dude, what the fuck are you talking about?" And then, he told me, he was like, "What does this have to do with Tony, the chick?" My ex-wife's best friend. Well, come to find out, he says that she's his sister, and she told him about me texting over the weekend and whatever. And he's like, getting all fucking pissed off. And, you know, making threats. Because I'm not a bitch to fight. I ain't gonna fight over some dumb shit like this because I could have eaten.
Same here.
So I made screenshots of all that shit. I said, "Yeah, go ahead, keep talking shit, bitch. Go right ahead."
It's like Tuesday situation for me. I didn't get in a fight about it. I just fucking talked it over. We settled our differences. We're cool. Me and that guy are cool.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happened with me and him, because I was talking on. Because I told him, I said, "Well, look here, man. You know, I think it was in June of last year. I can't remember when exactly it was, but Tony got in touch with me."
Yeah.
When because I had been texting, texting Audrey from my Google Voice numbers, and she went off and told Tony what my number was. Tony called me up on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, and I was asleep. Sleeping good, too. And she's like, "Is this Robin?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Who this?" "Well, this is Tony, Lockheed's friend, remember?" "Yeah, it's Alex." I said, "Yo, what's up?" And then she started going off, and she's talking about, "Oh, I'm tired of hearing my best friend call me and crying and worried about all this legal stuff. If you're going to do something, then file it. Well, here's the problem. Because I've seen it. You know, Audrey didn't tell me the truth about, you know, her fucking past with money. You know, apparently she owed Dell, I'm talking about the computer company, she owed them like $2,000 or something. And she had bought a computer a long time ago, I guess through Best Buy, and never paid the motherfucker off. I guess it was one of them credit card bills. And when I was living with her mom and dad at the time, they kept on trying to bring the carrier to serve her papers. And then when she finally got the papers, she's like fucking freaking out. I mean, she had a panic attack, you know, playing that victim.
Seems like,
And she's crying
like
and bawling.
Seems like I'm going to say this, seems like your ex-wife wants to get herself in shit and then wants somebody else to fucking White Knight up for her, basically.
Yeah, and the stepdad, he's a paralegal. Even though he legally, by law, he ain't supposed to give advice, he does it anyway. So he's sitting up here telling her what she needs to do and all this, and I'm sitting up here watching this shit, you know, just,
yeah.
I was kind of there for her, for with her all this shit, and just imagine if I do file something, and they serve her, and she's pregnant on top of that, and she has another panic attack like she did that day. I mean, that's not good for the unborn child. And I told this motherfucker going back to her boyfriend.
Man, you never told me about it. It's really, I hate to say that. You never really told me about that story. Now it seems like she's a fuck up. I mean, she fucks everybody over. How do you know she's gonna fuck Zach Elliott, that douchebag, over? She's gonna fuck him over some way or another, dude. Just give it time. He'll leave her. Watch after that. He'll realize what he's gotten himself into.
I told him. I said, "Look, man, I'm basically doing you a favor. I'm telling you what the deal is."
Yeah. Problem is, they're in love. I don't mean to say it, but they're just in love, and that's the problem. And they're basically, he don't want to hear your shit because he's so fucking pussy whipped off her. It's just fucking, ridiculous. And, like I say, sooner or later, she's going to get fucked over. She's going to fuck him over, and then he'll be in the same shit you are, bro. Honestly, Rob, I never told you this, man, but, and everybody can agree with me on here on the podcast. Let bygones be bygones, man. You know what? Sir, do what you have to do, bro. Stop talking about it and just do what you have to do. And basically, let her fuck him over, and he'll see the real light. He'll see the light, basically, they call it. And, and then he'll eventually decide for himself, well, this lady's trying to screw every man she gets with over, so you know what? I'm done with this shit.
She told me, when she was in her 20s, she left Texas. And moved out to somewhere in California and stayed there for a year and a half for some guy that she met off on the internet or some shit. And she said that we had sex one time. And then when when she's telling me this shit, I asked her the question. I said, "So you hadn't had a lot of partners?" She's like, "No, I haven't." And I was like, "Have you ever been tested?" And she was like, "No." So I was like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah.
So
I
before I even put the bitch raw, I made her ass get tested, and the rest is history. But got tested together.
But a story like yours is why my guys go this MGTOW role, just what we call MGTOW, Well, why they go their own way and just say, fuck relationships, fuck marriage, and we're done. I'm going to go my own way. I've been my own way for a while. I've never been married. I'm 31 years old, and, I'm just living with a family member and helping take care of her for the time being until that day comes when I have to finally move out and find my own way, man. It's what it is. But, then again, I am hopeful maybe I will find at least a good woman because there is some good women out there. But the problem is there's a lot of players and there's a lot of fucking, idiot women out there that choose the wrong men or choose to be with bad boys, Or also you always meet a woman, another problem I've always had too is when you do meet a good woman out there, man, they're always freaking taken. They're always taken. You notice that, Rob? Ozel?
Yeah, they're always taken, and half the time it's like they're not with the men for the right reasons. That they have ulterior motives. They may start out as a cool chick to hang out with, and then
I had a girl named
and,
Angel. I'll tell you all a story real quick on the Overdrive while I have it, if you don't mind sharing, Rob.
Go ahead, bro.
I had a girl recently, a couple years I know, named Angel. Angel, that's her name. I know she liked me. I know it because I used to come visit her all the time at this shop. It was called the Deep End back in the day in the Deep Elm area of Dallas because we all both live in Dallas. Angel. I'm not going to give her last name. I'm just calling her name was Angel. I really liked her, and I know she really liked me for some reason, but she has a man named some guy that I see him all the time. He's some short dude, and he's one of those, like, wild-looking dudes. I respected it that she was with the guy, and she's been with him for so many years. You know, I just like, you know what, and I even was talking to her one day. I told her she was an awesome, I just messaged her one night and told her she was an awesome girl. So you're an awesome friend. And Shaggy, you know, well, I just said his name, that what he called himself. But I said, he's a great guy. And then she's like, duh, I'm glad that's the reason I'm with him. But, you know, you'll find somebody one day. But me, and then she started showing feelings to me. I ain't gonna lie, this girl started showing some feelings to me one day. But then out of nowhere, we were supposed to go meet up. Me and her were actually going to go meet up one day and have lunch and just hang out as friends, but it never happened. And then for a while, she just disappeared from Deep Elm and stopped talking to people. Then one day, I don't know what the fuck happened. She had me on Facebook. She got mad at me over something and blocked me on Facebook for no fucking reason. What the fuck was that about? I don't know, but ever since then, I just haven't really talked to this girl anymore. I don't even pay her attention, you know. Until she leaves fucking Shaggy, you know, yeah, I'm about to be single now, but until you leave fucking Shaggy, Angel, I'm not, even if you leave Shaggy, I don't know if I'd ever get with you because you're going to get mad at me for shit like that. Maybe if you finally leave Shaggy, you'll come to a real man like me. I'm not saying he's not a real man, but she knows I'm a real man. She knows I'm a good man, and I treat her right. I mean, she wasn't bad looking. She was very cute. But, you know, ever since then, I just, you know, it's like Elena, this other girl I knew back in 2011. But that bitch was a gold digger, fucking mind game playing bitch I knew. Same with Trish, this girl from 2013. Same thing with Carly, this fucking stoner hippie chick from fucking Fort Worth area that fucking met at a concert one night that she fucking never gave me a chance. She, you know, I don't play that. That's one thing about women, I'm going to tell y'all straight up, here on the Overdrive. If you ever try to find women, even though we live in a social media, bro, we live in a social media society, don't let them trick you into getting their Facebook, giving out their Facebook, because 99% of the time they're never going to get to you. They're not even going to contact you. I have so many women, and I was telling Rob about this last night on the phone. I have so many fucking women out here in the world today that I pretend to be your friend, even my model friend I know. Do I ever hear her fucking message me and just say, hey, how's your life? How's life going? Or even just comment on my Facebook profile? Fuck no. She just has me as another number on there. I'm just another number on her fucking of her friends list. Another dude on there. But see, I don't hoe chase like a lot of these fucking guys do. I'm so sick of women these days, man. It's just they fucking do that shit. They lead you on to believe that you're really somebody to them, but you're really fucking not. So guess why I fucking quit dating a long time ago. But I'm trying again.
I don't mean to cut you off, but we're about to get cut off here in a sec. So, any closing remarks?
Nah, not really, man. I mean, I had my little rant there. I mean, I wanted to get that off my chest about how women treat, you know, like, I did want to say something on the podcast to men and everybody out there. Don't y'all hate it, too, that how women just fucking, you know what I'm talking about, Rob. They just fucking act like they're interested. They'll give you their phone number or their Facebook, but then they never fucking keep in contact with you, and you reach out to them, they always pretend to be busy, or half the time they ghost you and never get back to you. Fuck people that do shit like that, because I get that all the time, man, by women.
Yeah, definitely. So with that being said, for Travis Steele, I am Rob Smith of Fuzzle, a.k.a. Rob Uzzle. This has been a very impactful